CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer as we wrap up this week. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour. We set this hour aside to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical perspective, what we hear in church, and maybe you've just been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, or someone's asked you a question. That's why we do this, and we love doing it each and every weekday afternoon. So if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, give us a call. That number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN, and we'll do our very best to answer your questions for you. Now, today is kind of special because with us we have Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, and if you've got a question concerning legal issues, well, today's your day. And it's great to know you can actually talk to an attorney without it costing $500 or $1,000 an hour. Just give Brad a call. We're here for you today. Again, 888-ASK-CSN's the number to call. Welcome, Brad, from Pacific Justice Institute.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you, Pastor Mike.
What's the latest that you got going on? Evil dragons are you beating back into their cave?
Well, I tell you, we have so many of these pronoun cases dealing, whether it's Christian business owner being required to compromise their faith and convictions, employees, or the state of New Jersey ordering every public school teacher have to compromise their beliefs and use pronouns and even lie to parents, if a child has confusion. It's just outrageous. So we're taking these on all across the country. We're looking for girls to represent who were prevented from being on a team because a biological boy joined the female team. So we're looking for those kinds of cases right now. We're looking to hire more attorneys in more states across the country. Yeah, it's an exciting time. And just recently, I was in the White House on the West Wing, which was great, and being able to meet with some of the people there about a potential executive order that would be fantastic for the kingdom. I can't get into the details, but stay tuned. It's an exciting time we live in, and we're really trying to make the most of the opportunities we have for faith and family and freedom.
Amen. And, you know, Brad, something I think is a concern for everybody is the transgender males that go into female sports stealing all their scholarships. I think that's right. Such a tragedy and such a war on women that's launched, unfortunately, by the previous administration and even venues of it still existing in these radical blue states where they think a man puts on a dress and now he's a girl. What kind of mentality are we dealing with here? Or maybe I should say lack of.
I think lack of, because I'm looking at this as an attorney. I look at it logically, analytically, biologic science. There's nothing to support this. This is a feeling. This is a feeling and impression. You know, yes, let's have these guys in girls' sports. Yes, and we're sort of turning off our minds when we have that kind of a thinking. The reality is, Title IX was adopted decades ago to protect the rights and ability for have their own competition so they don't have to try out for the boys basketball team or the boys football team, whatever. They can have their own competition, have their own opportunity because they're different. They're not the same as males. It's very, very clear. There's a huge difference. That's why that was passed in the first place. And so we're defending the ability for the Title IX to maintain its strength and protection for women to compete in sports. It's very important. And once again, if there's anyone out there who knows of someone who is shorted in terms of their ability, their opportunities, either in competition or to join a team and couldn't because a boy was taking their place, they should contact us at our website, pji.org, pji.org. They can also sign up to get our free e-newsletter, The Legal Insider, keep up with our cases, You know, right now, Mike, we have over 270 cases in active litigation defending religious freedom, parents' rights, sanctity of life. And the number is growing, and our offices are growing by God's grace. And it's an exciting time we live in, and we have great judges, and we're real optimistic of the final outcome of these challenges.
Yes, and so we keep in your prayers, because I know you're up against some real powers of darkness there, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world.
Yes.
Well, let's go to the phones. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We have Robert on the line, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, Pastor. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. How may we help?
Well, it's about an Old Testament story, the Elijah story. And I've noticed that no one, no pastor, no theologian, has ever said exactly why Elijah was taken up into heaven, not specifically. And some say even that it's not scriptural, but I believe it is. And I was hoping I could tell you why it's scriptural. Is that okay?
Well, actually, I believe that God supernaturally moving people around all the way through the Bible.
Yeah.
The idea, as an example, of the rapture of the church, many people try to discount that in some way, but whether it's Philip baptizing Ethiopian eunuch and then caught away in the spirit and found over on the coast of Israel over in Arizona, or whether it's Elijah being carried up in a whirlwind like a fiery chariot, whether it's Enoch who walked with God and was taken, I believe all these are picture types. Now, it tells us in Hebrews 9, it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We have two Old Testament people who did not die a natural death. Now, we as Christians, when we come to Christ, we die to ourselves. I believe that fulfills that which is required there. It's appointed a man once to die. We died, no longer I, Paul says, live, but Christ who lives within me. So we have this. Now, you have two that didn't die. You have Enoch, who was taken up and was walked with God and was taken, and then Elijah, who was taken up in a whirlwind. And it is noteworthy to me, you have two prophets that come back in the streets of Jerusalem during the tribulation period, warning the people not to repent. Now, something noteworthy, Enoch was pre-flood, Elijah was post-flood. And so I believe that, again, following that. Now, the miracles they do are very similar to what Moses did before Pharaoh. So people say, oh, it's Moses. No, Moses was died and he was buried. But you have Elijah, who just was caught up in a whirlwind like a fiery chariot. I believe these two come back. Why are the miracles similar? Because you have the same God. That's why. But we don't know for sure who they are. One we know for sure is Elijah. He tells us that Elijah will come before the great notable day of the Lord. So we know one is Elijah. Who the other one is, some say Moses. I personally believe it was Enoch fulfilling that scripture in Hebrews 9. Now, as far as exactly why God took him up in a fiery chariot, I can tell you this for sure. The Bible doesn't say. And I always caution people that we have ideas, and Robert, I do want to hear what your take is on this, but we have to be very careful in adding to God's word. And I'm always mindful of that. Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. I want to be careful that I don't ever add. There's a lot of questions like this, Robert. I'll give you another one. Where was Daniel during the situation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they wouldn't bow down and worship the golden image? Where was Daniel? Now, some people say, oh, he was being an ambassador to a foreign land. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But curiously enough, it is a picture type of when the children of Israel are under the gun by a world dictator called Nebuchadnezzar. God protected them. God protects the children of Israel through the tribulation period. Where the church is, we know it's in heaven, but it's not here on earth, which some people attribute that disappearance of Daniel during that time to the rapture. I think there's a lot of very interesting things, but what's your thoughts on that, Robert?
Okay. Well, there is a specific reason, and it's never been told. There's a faith thing, but I think it's more like sacrifice. Let me explain. Elijah was seeking peace, 1 Kings 19:17, and he found peace, 2 Kings 1:15. Seeking peace, he was at Mount Horeb. They asked, what were you doing there? Well, he wanted to die. He was under the juniper tree. He went to Mount. But why did he want to die? People say he's depressed. Why? Because he didn't want to kill anymore. He went from Jezebel because he didn't want to kill. I can back that up with 19:17. Here's a very important verse. No one studies it or talks about it. It's actually the fall of Israel. God tells him, and it's exoneration of Elijah. God tells Elijah to anoint three others to do the slaying or the killing. There's only 7,000 left in Israel that have not bowed to Baal. That's verse 18. In other words, 1917, 1918. In other words, Elijah didn't want to kill anymore and anoint three others to kill all of Israel, conquer Israel, 700,000. Now, continue on, and you can interject after I finish with him finding peace. He's in the same situation again on a hill outside Samaria. He's killing. The king wants him killed. The king wants to torture Elijah and force him to heal him. The king is ailing. He kills one set of soldiers. Elijah does, brings God's fire from heaven if he's a prophet. And then he kills another, but he stops killing. He finds peace. That's why he's afraid. The angel of the Lord said, don't be afraid with him. Go to the king that wants to kill you. God will take you up. God does take him up later. He tells Elijah and everyone. So in other words, my theory is God took Elijah was taken up because he offered himself to God for peace, and God took him up literally. It goes along with It goes along with John the Baptist and with Jesus, who came in peace for all mankind, as with Elijah and Elisha.
Okay, your thoughts on that, Brad?
Yeah, that's interesting. Something I haven't thought of. I've never made that connection. I think it's important for us to be. It's okay for us to speculate. I think it's actually it's great to research and to ask these questions. But we also though need to separate, and it's fine as long as we're separating speculation and of interpretation with that which the word is very clear on and very articulate on. So we know that there's going to be two coming back. We know that that it is appointed for all men to die once, then comes judgment. We know that there's two that have not died. So from, you know, so as far as like who they are, I think I agree with Pastor Mike. I think it's going to be Enoch and Elijah. But as far as the why, that's something I think is it's interesting to hear what you have to say. I really don't know. I really can't comment either way on that. It's it's an interesting question, and I'm sure we'll find out when we get to be with the Lord. But it is an interesting question that, frankly, I didn't really even think about. So,
yeah, and I again, the reason why Elijah was up on the mountain, it's very clear it was self-pity. I mean, he's saying, you know, he ran to the mountain because of the whole challenging the prophets of Baal to a duel and then having all their prophetess killed once the real God answered by fire for Elijah and nothing happened for the prophets of Baal. And so he ran for his life. Elijah, believing he was the only one left And God's saying, I've got 7,000 people down there that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Again, God's perspective of life is different than ours. Elijah's perspective was, I'm the only one. God's perspective is there's thousands and thousands more. And so I believe that. However, I will say this. I do believe that it was a time in which there was a change. Elijah was that very well could have, as an example, stood and represented God's words, which he did, and God took him to heaven, kind of like a rapture, if you will. And then Elisha took over in his place. We know that the church is right now the vehicle in which God is evangelizing the world. But we know in the church is taken home, the bride of Christ, the rapture of the church. God then uses the 144,000 Jews that we find in Revelation chapter 7. Now, they are servants to God, as well as the two prophets in the streets of Jerusalem, which we already mentioned. And you have the angels flying through the midst of heaven, warning the people on the earth against the Antichrist, not taking the mark and all. So the question is that a change from going from Elijah to Elisha in a different type of ministry, going from the church to the evangelistic Jews, the 144,000 during the tribulation period? Interesting observation. And I believe that, again, we see this all the way through the Bible when you see these supernatural occurrences. So, Robert, yeah, interesting thoughts, and appreciate it. I just want to encourage you to keep reading your Bible. It's always a good thing.
Yes.
Stay on the line. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs, always a good thing to share with your friends. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call, and we'll go to Maria in San Jose, California.
Hi, Mike and Brad. Thank you for all that you do. I'm calling because we have a weekly Patriot gathering that we've been doing since 2020 in San Jose, or actually Morgan Hill, California, over Highway 101. And the police never bothered us about it. And we've spoken to them before, and they've told us that they support us. But a few months ago, somebody showed up with a Nazi flag. We found out that it was a leftist. And the person didn't want to take it down. They finally did take it down, but they caused a lot of damage. And now, ever since then, the CHP officers come and monitor us every Friday when we are having this gathering. And there are other people who drive by breaking the law, speeding, swerving, smelling their car, smelling like marijuana, and no front license plates, but they don't do anything about them, but they stay there, and we feel like we're being targeted, like they're just monitoring us while they're ignoring people who are actually breaking the law. So I just wanted to see if Brad had any advice.
Yeah, Brad, you know, it's absolutely. I don't think you if you can stack two bricks on top of each other, you realize we have a two-tiered justice system right now in America. It's incredible to me that you'll have the leftists coming in. They'll come into a anti-abortion rally with their Nazi flags deliberately to mess it up. And nothing happens to these people. And yet, if you say anything about the dark side, Luke, oh my gosh, you're a criminal, lock them up. You know, it's interesting. Right now, we have a real problem, as an example, and Brad, you can talk about this too, that with the stroke of a pen, Joe Biden allowed all these, 700,000 illegals to come into the country, many of them criminals. And so with a stroke of a pen, President Trump said, no more, send him back. Some leftist loon judge said, oh, no, you can't do that. So it's interesting. So Biden could sign things into office with the stroke of a pen, but it literally takes an act of Congress and the Supreme Court to reverse it. Brad, what's wrong with this? And this, what Maria is complaining about is everywhere. These goons come in to a peaceful rally and then turn the public opinion against them. Meanwhile, in downtown Los Angeles, you have mobs closing down freeways and the CHP doesn't do anything.
Right.
What is going on here?
Yeah, well, it's, you have to look at where it's taking place. So Los Angeles, we know that is not a place that is friendly towards people of religious faith and religious expression, the same as they are for those who have, racial goals and things like that. So the first question in your situation is the place you're talking about a traditional public forum, free speech public forum? Are you talking about like over the bridge, over a freeway, and you put out your banner so all the cars driving underneath it can see it? Is that what you're talking about, Maria?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that is not deemed to be a traditional free speech forum. However, if the law enforcement allows other groups to do that unfettered and unchallenged, then they can't discriminate against you. They can't say, oh, we can't have that kind of religious speech, but other speech we can. But that is something that the courts have allowed law enforcement and cities to say, hey, no banners allowed here. It could create an accident, gets people's eyes off the road. Of course, you could say the same for billboards to your left and your right. But as far as overpasses, as long as it's neutral in how they enforce it, they can prevent that kind of speech on an overpass. But a lot of oftentimes they don't. And if they do allow it for one group, then they have to also allow it for you. As far as entities putting up banners at rallies and things to create a harassment, I've seen that happen. I went to an event put on to recognize the Jews who died on October 7th, as well as on the Holocaust. And also it was the 9/11 regarding what happened there in New York and that terrible time. And there were three people in the back and they had red MAGA hats on. And they had things that were just really overtly like pro-Trump, pro-conservative. But then when it came to Q&A, they created a ruckus and there were obvious plants and they start screaming and yelling. And you could tell they were paid plants to go in and disrupt this event. And it was very nerve-wracking. To see that kind of a tactic, it really violates the whole principle of our rights to gather, our rights to express ourselves, to also regarding faith as well. But that's what we see the left doing because they're not about freedoms and liberties. They're about an agenda, and they want to silence and destroy anyone that's not along with their agenda. But if you see something happen to you where you're not getting the same fair treatment, contact us at Pacific Justice Institute. You go to our website, pji.org. We'll be happy to look at it. But if they're enforcing it and not allowing any banners and treating everyone the same, they could do that in that kind of a form. Now, public sidewalks, even in California, even in shopping malls, we've got the courts to say that it's a quasi-public forum for free speech. So it just depends. You have to first ask, what's the forum? And number two, are they equally enforcing it? Or they're discriminating based on speech and viewpoint.
So I hope that helps, Maria, because again, I think if the CHP is going to show up there and you have an infiltrator, which is that's what you had with this Nazi flag dude, or for that matter, a mega hat person or whatever, deliberately they're not to be peaceful, but deliberately to bend public opinion that, you're all a bunch of crazies. That's what they're there for. Now, you got to remember, this group of people is very well organized. I do believe Soros is behind many of these things. And I can't believe that Joe Biden gave him the Citizen of the Year Award or whatever it was last year. It was absolutely, absolutely jaw-dropping, astounding that somebody that has done this to America is even recognized rather than arrested for treason. These are the problems that we have right now in our country. So understanding that, I would immediately report that to the CHP, say that guy showed up here, but he's not one of us. And if there's a way that you know who is part of your organization that shows up there, and you see somebody new that's in there and they're working their way up to the front of the crowd, I would be suspicious of those kinds of people because, again, you know, they're traitors and they're there right. for another purpose. And I believe this is why, rather than maybe looking at the CHP as those being mean to you, rather maybe view them as protecting you in that you can immediately identify somebody saying, hey, this guy is or this girl is here for other purposes. She's not part of what we're doing. Yeah. Any last thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, and I agree. Talk to CHP. Say this person is not a part of what we're doing. If you have to get a permit, by the way, if you get a permit for your speech, if they allow that, then that area is protected for your speech and others cannot invade your area that has been protected for your speech, like the overpass on that day. They can get a permit for another day. So that's another question, too. Now, if it's not a permit and you're just going there, then this other person shows up, then it's much more difficult to have that person removed completely. You can't ask the CHP to separate them from you, but obviously their purpose is to create a false messaging, to deceive, a false messaging to discredit you and your speech with this false messaging. It's shameful, it's disgraceful, but that's what the left does. And it's very disappointing to see that. But work with CHP if you can.
And so, dear, our prayers are with you. Father, may you just give Maria wisdom in dealing with these things. Put people around her that will protect them in Jesus' name. Stay in line, Maria. We'll get you taken care of. Coming up on a break, we'll have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer for women the blessing of life. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug, or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true, people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. Whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with, here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus, president of PJI.org, Pacific Justice Institute. And he represents, and his organization represents, people like you and me against unfair laws and practices, sometimes inflicted honest by local, city, state, federal governments. And so if you got a problem, you got an issue, hey, today's your day to call. You can talk to Brad Free. And I just want to encourage you to give us a call. Again, Brad represents people like us for no cost. It's a ministry, and hard to believe, Brad, that there are actually attorneys that are noble, that aren't just in it for the money, that really want to help people. Thank you.
Yeah, I tell you, Mike, we've got a great team of attorneys. We have 36 offices all across the country, and the attorneys we work with really have just a real servant heart, great capacity and skill set, and they work together as a team. So people should never hesitate to contact us, and we're always looking to hire more lawyers. So if there's anywhere they are in the country, if they're interested, they should contact us. If they're an attorney, like to get involved and join our team, that'd be great.
Amen. Amen. So good. Well, back to the phones we go. 8888. Ask CSN if you want to call. You can be part of the program today. And we have William on the line, Cedar Hill, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, brothers.
Yes.
I wanted to ask a question. I opened the gates at our property, the church property, and there is a Spanish preacher, or I guess he's a pastor down in Mexico, and we started talking, and he says that you can only go to heaven if you never sin.
Well, heaven would be a pretty empty place because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, the scripture tells us. Now, it is true that we cannot go to heaven if we're sinners, but that's what being born again is about. I go to heaven, you go to heaven, not because we're righteous. We go to heaven because Jesus was righteous. Paul says we are clothed in his righteousness. We put on the robe of righteousness. That's what allows us to go. I will never be good enough to go to heaven. Anybody that says the only way you can go to heaven is if you're sinless, that is a true statement. But none of us are sinless. Not the guy that told you that, not anybody else. The only reason we get to go to heaven is because Jesus paid the price of sin on the cross. His blood covered our sins. Now, the reason why this is so important is without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And where the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament can only cover the sin, Jesus' blood removed the sin, and now we are no longer sinners, but we are saints. So if somebody says to me, do you know if you're going to go to heaven or not? I said, yes. Why do you know that? Because I don't go to heaven because I'm good. I go to him because he's good and I'm wrapped in his righteousness. What a big difference. Now, is that the idea that he was conveying to you, William? Or he was saying that even in Christ, you have to come to some sinless perfection?
Well, from what we only talked a little bit because he's Spanish and he reads his Spanish Bible. I was talking to him, and for one thing, yeah, he was saying, I mean, from what I understand, he was saying, I do not sin, therefore I can go to heaven.
Hmm.
Now, the thing is, we still have, I believe, I mean, from what I listen to a lot of people, different people, we have two natures. We're born with a sinful nature. We do not lose that nature, but we have a new nature where we do not sin. Do you understand? A new nature is our sinless nature. We have two natures. We have our flesh and our spirit. We don't have, well, anyway, I could go on and on myself like this, but I don't really want to. What I was calling for is to I'll probably see him again, and I want to be able to talk to him in the right way. I know what you were saying, and I agree, but do you, okay, let me ask you this. Do you think we have two natures? the nature we were born with. And
well, sure. Nature. And that's why we're born again. Jesus said, I marvel not. He said this to a religious leader. You must be born again. We take on that spiritual nature. Now, something I would show him, and you can go to 1 John 1:8. Yeah. It says in the Bible that, again, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if he's going around saying he doesn't sin, he's lying. And this is what Jesus pointed out. Even if you thought it in your heart, you've committed it. We're all sinners in desperate need of a Savior. We do not go to heaven because we are righteous. We go to heaven because he's righteous. And there's a big difference. If we went to heaven because we were righteous, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. Father, if there's any other way man can be saved, let this cup pass from me. Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, if man can just be really good and not sin anymore, he just might make it. My question then to him would be, well, how do you define sin? Since you say if we sin, we don't go. So define sin to me. And if he goes to the Ten Commandments, then we know we're in trouble because we're not saved by the Ten Commandments. Galatians tells us that the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament, the rules and laws were the schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. It showed us how God's standard is so far above our standard. There is no way attainable to it. And so it would require the God-man, Jesus Christ, to come and be that propitiation for our sins. That's what that's talking about. So the minute that somebody thinks they're in any way going to go to heaven, and I would ask him this question. I would ask him, do you go to heaven because you're good or because you're in Jesus? If he says, because I'm good, then he's not born again. Because he hasn't recognized why Jesus died on the cross for him. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's hard for me to see someone thinking or saying that he's without sin and therefore he's going to heaven. Now, I know some Christians can get into legalism, and some denominations have been more guilty of this than others. But this is where people, they say, no, I have to believe in Jesus to be saved. I gave my life to Jesus. But now, from this point on, I have to live this really high, perfect life, or I'll lose my salvation suddenly. And I just like to bring him to you know, I think you know, there's a number of scriptures, but I always like 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, this is a faithful thing. If we, chapter 2, verse 11 says, this is a faithful thing. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. So God's going to reward those who are faithful, and especially in these times. It says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. So if we say, no, Jesus is not my Savior, this is not, I don't put my trust in him, then, you know, that's then he'll deny us. But then verse 13 is really powerful. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny the power of the cross and what he did on the cross to bear our sins and the completion of it. And so I just encourage us. It's so easy for Christians to get sucked into this attitude of conditional grace, of where you have to do so much good after you get saved. Jesus died for our sins. Before we were Christians, he died for our sins after we became a Christian. And if you look at, you know, James, it talks about convicting us. It talks about even in 1 John chapter 2 about the keeping his commandments. There's a test. If there's no transformation in our lives at all, well, that may be a test that we may not have had a real conversion. We may not have actually received the Lord. And so that's the purpose of looking at our works as post-Christian, you know, after becoming a Christian, but in no way is it to in any way minimize the power of the cross to cover our sins if we are a true believer and have truly given our lives to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Amen. I hope that helps, William.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to, and I know I'll run into him again because I have something that I do that every morning very early, and he comes to the mountain every morning or some mornings. And I want to be able to help him because if he's going back to Mexico and he's a pastor back in Mexico, if he's teaching his congregation this,
terrible.
That's just horrible. It's horrible. Yeah. I feel so sorry for his congregation. And because, yes, if I may say this, before I was saved, I had no problem sinning. Not one problem. I lived in a very gray world. But afterwards, from the very moment, I was different. I had a different nature, but I still had my old nature. And I still do. And I still have to fight against it. That's what we have to fight against, our nature all the time, our flesh. I actually pointed him to Paul chapter 7. Paul had been saved 25 years when he wrote chapter 7 of Romans. And that wasn't talking about people before they're saved. He was talking about himself.
Yeah.
All the way
down
to the
sinners I am chief.
Verse.
Yeah. See, he doesn't understand that. I would really reread 1 John chapter 1. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. Very clearly, it says that after we're saved, we are going to sin. It doesn't mean we should, but it means we do. But there's an antidote for that. And again, this is why I believe that no doubt, William, God has placed you in this man's path, because you may help him not put the bar on humans, but rather the bar is on Christ. He's the high standard. We're sinners saved by grace. And the minute that we don't think we sin, and again, going to 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. The truth is not in us. And so it's very clear that he says, my little children, he's writing to believers, not to the world, not to a bar. So I would point that out to him. I hope that helps.
It does a lot. And I listen to y'all all the time, and I don't call in a whole lot because I've been on this planet around this star 77 times.
Yep.
If you understand what I'm saying. And we could talk all day long into the night if I really opened up, but I'm not going to. Y'all have other people that can talk. I do appreciate what you said, and I'll try to help him if I can. Thank you so much.
I would do that. Stay online, send you out some books and DVDs. Perhaps you can even get those into his hand, a little book called Time to Grow, which would really help him a lot. God bless you. Thanks so much for the call, William, and pray that God gives you the right words to say. Let's go to Thomas, Portsmouth, Ohio. I welcome.
Hello, Mike and Brad. I listened to you guys for years, and I just want to thank you all for your ministry and everything you do. I'm calling today, preachers, brothers. We have went to our church. We have been praying and talking to God, first of all. And we're Christians, and we just got something in our life that we've never had to deal with before in our life. We live in a little town that's about 5 miles, you know, in each direction. And my wife has been with this business for 21 years. She's very faithful. She does her job, and there's nothing against her. She's got nothing write-ups on her at all. And starting in January, this person that's trying to turn themselves into a man, which they have not done, they just want to be called a name, and my wife has kind of slipped in calling him when she's known him as a girl this whole time. Well, you guys, back on Monday, a few days ago, after she attacked her and turned her into this place, they got a phone call from this big business, jumped down my wife's throat. Now she said she's doing it again. This time it's a lie, and this company wants to actually – looks like what it looks like to us is fire her for doing this just by not saying a girl name over a boy name, which is not even legally changed now. And it's just, uncomprehendable. We just don't know what to do. And this main regional manager called a while ago and said, the stores around you don't want you either. And Brad, is there any legal, Mike, help us. Is there any legal matter here? I mean, do we have to sue these people? I mean, what can we do?
Yeah.
Do they have to make the first move and then they respond? What do you do, Brad?
Yeah, we have a case similar to this up in Michigan, dealing with an older woman who works for a health medical clinic, blood center, and someone was a man who wants to be identified as a woman, and she says, I can't do that because to me that is blasphemy against the Creator, so she says, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will not use any pronouns at all for this person. And I'll refer to them by their last name. And that was very reasonable. And under Title VII, she's entitled to a reasonable accommodation of her sincerely held religious beliefs. The employer said, you're fired. And we are filing a lawsuit on her behalf because she was not reasonably accommodated at all. It was not an undue burden or hardship to allow her to refer to this person by their last name. We even help teachers in that situation to say, just refer to every student in your class by their last name. And that's how we recommend to mitigate it. But if she has religious objections about it, if she thinks she may be terminated, if this is a real threat, first, I encourage you to contact Pacific Justice Institute so one of our attorneys can get more detail in our conversation and find out more of the facts. Second, it's probably advisable for her to put in writing her sincerely held religious beliefs about pronouns that are lies, that are contrary to the reality of who the person is, about her religious beliefs, about the Creator and blasphemy against the Creator, if that's what her beliefs are. It needs to be her beliefs. Cite the scriptures, put that in there, and then have her offer a resolution that's as much as she can do, which what we recommend is, like, once again, refer to them by their last name in a very respectful tone. I'm open to other possible avenues for reasonable accommodation. But we can work with her on that. We do it without charge. We help people all across the country. There's a wave of wanting to purge Christians from their jobs and to purge Christians from being foster care people. Like in Oregon, we're suing over that. On this issue, it's like Satan wants to use this to punish Christians, to persecute Christians. We're standing up for people like your wife, and we'd be happy to do to talk to her more without charge, always.
How does he get a hold of you?
Just go to our website, pji.org, and then put on there, so there's a request for assistance. Just click that and then spell out what's going on. And we'd be happy to get back with you on that. And you're in Ohio, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I guest preached actually there in the Ark Church south of Dayton, Ohio, not that long ago. So we'd be happy to see what we can do. But she needs to get counsel before she takes any action. She needs to make sure she preserves her rights under Title VII for a reasonable accommodation. That's real important.
Thomas, I would have her do that right away, like today.
Yes. We didn't know that up to this time. She is just, we've been trying to pray, God, do we address this person this way like that or not? We didn't know those legal things. And she has just been calling her what she wants to be called. And we feel like that's wrong in front of God, but she's trying to do it anyway. And that still wasn't good enough. They're believing wow. her side for 5 years. Mary Ann's been there for 21 years. And Brad, I tell you, I don't comprehend all this stuff. They offered this person higher pay and more hours somewhere else, wouldn't take it. And then they told my wife she'll have to leave this place or else. Now they've called her after 3 days of all of this and saying those other stores don't want you either. And we just don't know what to do.
Yeah, you probably can't say the name of the store, but is it a national chain or is it just there in Ohio?
Yes.
It is national.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, love to talk to you about this sooner rather than later, definitely. yeah, she needs to preserve her rights. And then we can see what, you know, where we go from here. And if she has no problem saying the first name of the person, that's very, very gracious. She just doesn't want to use the pronouns. Is that right?
Yeah, no, she had no objection to calling her whatever she wanted. And she just wouldn't said, you're keep saying it anyhow. And you know what I mean? I mean,
not the name, the pronoun.
Yeah, the pronoun.
I'll live on the pronoun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And if she just doesn't, says, look, I won't use pronouns, period. I'll refer to this person by their name. That's a very reasonable thing to do. And they should accommodate her. But they need to know those rights only kick in if she gives them notice of her religious beliefs and need for reasonable accommodation under Title VII. So that's what we need to help you with.
So there you go, Thomas. I hope that helps. Stay on the line, and we'll send you out some books and DVDs as well. But I would contact them today, okay?
Yes, Mike and Brad, thank you all very much. Brad, would you like to talk to my wife, I mean, off the air? I would be glad if you would, I mean, if you want to.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'm not in my office right now. I'm in Florida. If she wants to talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to her and give her immediate counsel. You can just have her contact me. And my direct number right now would be 916-719-9510. And she can call that number after we're off. So hopefully I can help her.
Thomas, hope that helps.
Could I have that number once again, Brad? I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. 916-719-9510. That's the number she could reach me today. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
The studio will give that to you. Thanks.
God bless you, Thomas. And if you need us, we're here. And I know Brad and his team will be glad to help. Let's go to John in San Jose, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. There's a church in San Jose that's still being prosecuted for not closing down for COVID. And I was wondering, Brad, does the Constitution allow for this?
Interesting. So I know what church you're talking about. We did not represent that church. We represented five other churches, and we advised them all, they heeded our counsel. We advised them all to meet outside while we were litigating, and they met in tents and, you know, outside their churches. Our case went all the way to the Supreme Court. We prevailed. The five churches prevailed. They have no fees, no fines. But if a church is ordered and doesn't abide by the order, then, you know, even though the pandemic is over, they could still face fines for not complying with the order. We try to mitigate those risks for our clients that's what we do. We can still litigate the case without them meeting inside and racking up lots of heavy, heavy fines. So that's the problem with that particular case. I hope they do prevail, but that's not always the case. If you do not abide by a mandate that at the time is arguably necessary for health and safety. I don't believe in that. I don't think it was necessary for health and safety. We now realize there was a lot of false information provided during the time of the pandemic. But that's what that church is going through, and it's a real shame.
So hope that helps, John.
Well, thanks. I'm thinking that it's totally against the Constitution of the United States, and seems like the lower courts have been compromised.
I agree with you on that. But so far, the case and the judges have not agreed with that position, and it's most unfortunate, but we'll have to see how it turns out. But we strongly encourage pastors out there, if they have any doubts, any hesitations, if there's any kind of risk at all, they should contact us at Pacific Justice Institute, because we always put our clients first. We give them counsel as to what's in their best interest and not necessarily our own legal goals but so they should never hesitate to contact us. We do all our work without charge. We're all over the country.
Hope that helps, John.
Much for what you do, and I appreciate your taking my call. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online, send you out some books and DVDs. And with that, we are all out of time. Mark, Christine, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing on Monday. And thank you so much, Brad, for being on today and encouraging the saints and that, there is hope in a very, very skewed legal system. Thank you. Be sure to contact him, pji.org. And I will be speaking at ConocoPhillips Fellowship there on Aaliyah Drive this Sunday in Kona, Hawaii. Just go down Aaliyah Drive. Go to the Kona Coast Market and go through the hallway, and you'll see us all out there on the lawn and under the tents. We're going to have a great time studying God's Word together. That's this Sunday at Kona, Hawaii, off Aaliyah Drive, downtown Kona. Lord bless you. See you then. Have a safe weekend.
To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.